Today, from the Wings Archive, Incest Survivors Speak Out.
My sisters and I never, ever spoke of it, ever. It cuts you off from every relationship.
When he came in, he didn't turn on the light. The room was dark, and I was in my little pajamas, and he just said, shh.
I believe that my greatest revenge is to speak out and to help others to speak out.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
If there is any one message that I can give tonight, it is that if you do the work of healing, the pain does end.
Marilyn Vanderber is an incest survivor. She's also a former Miss America. The Healing Years, an hour-long video documentary by Kathy Barbini, spotlights Vanderber's ongoing public fight against incest and the activism of two other women incest survivors.
We must surround and protect children. But first, we must do our own work of healing. My life shut down completely when I was 45. From 45 to 51, I just laid on the floor and sobbed. And the vivid memories and feelings came back. I was hospitalized, locked in a psychiatric ward. My body was in complete paralysis. I couldn't move my arms or my legs. Had no idea incest was doing this. Had no idea. I mean, who could have believed that incest would cause physical paralysis? If people knew what we had to do in order to survive, the blackness and the terrors of the nights, of the reliving of the memories, they would have to come up with a new Nobel Prize for incredible achievement. We need to replace shame with pride, pride in our courage, pride in our ability to come through the recovering process. We were the most beautiful family. Four daughters, all 2 years apart. I was the youngest. We were the Miss America family, the debutante. They always call me the debutante Miss America. I was the only family, I think, where Burt Parks stopped the show. After I was crowned, he said, where is the Vanderber family? Where is the, there they are, open up an aisle, 25,000 people sitting, open up an aisle, let the Vanderber family, and they brought my family up on stage, introduced my father, my mother, and my three older sisters. We were the most exceptional, beautiful family. You couldn't possibly, in your wildest imagination, imagine my father sneaking down to my bedroom for 13 years and turning the doorknob. It's inconceivable. I believe that I was bad and dirty for 53 years. The reason that you can't understand why I felt that way just underscores what happens to a child's mind when her young body is pried open and violated. It's our belief systems that are shattered. It isn't just the physical invasion of our bodies. It's the trauma that it does to our entire belief system. You cannot have a relationship with anybody. You can't have a best friend. My sisters and I never, ever spoke of it, ever. It cuts you off from every relationship. For example, at 15, I met my now husband, Larry, and was in love with him from the day I ever laid eyes on him. I loved him more than anything else in the world, and everybody knew it. And he went away to college, and I went away to college. And during the summer, we wrote every day. Could not wait to be together during the summer, just couldn't wait. And the summer after my freshman year in college, he came bounding over to my house, and I said, I'm going away to summer school. I'm going to the University of Wisconsin. And he said, why are you doing that? Well, subconsciously, I was never going to stay in my room again. I was never going to go back in that house and stay in my room again. But I just didn't know what to say. I could never have used the word incest. How do you tell somebody that? How do you tell the young man that thinks you're the most perfect teenager he's ever met in his entire life? How can you say that my father was coming into my room at night? I knew he would look at me with such disgust. I knew he would look at me like I felt, like a slut, like a whore. I knew he would look at me that way because that's who I was, and that's how I felt. I was dirty and bad and ugly. I was unacceptable. I was guilty. When I finally got the words out and I just had my head down and I was just sobbing, when I knew that split second that he would get it, I just looked up quickly because I knew I would see so much disdain. And there was just love. He looked at me with so much love. And he came over and he just put his arms around me and he just held me and held me and held me. And the only thing I remember him saying was, "Today is the happiest day of my life. I understand everything now." I confronted my father only once when I was 40. And he said to me, after I told him what this had done to my life, he said, "If I had known what it would do to you, I never would have done it." And I clung to that for 16 years, from age 40 to age 56. I really clung to the thought that if he had known how this would traumatize every single aspect of my life, he couldn't have done it. And then 2 years ago, I received a letter from a woman in Denver who told me that my father had sexually violated her about 20 times in 1983. My father was 74. He died when he was 75. My eldest sister, Gwen, thought she was the only one. I was the youngest of four daughters. I knew I was the last one. It never occurred to me that he would keep violating. And I realized that my father knew exactly what he was doing. And he continued to do it until he died. It's been a very, very, very long and agonizing journey. But the good news is, the pain ends. When I came forward and I was introduced as the former Miss America, outstanding woman speaker in America, there was a part of me that was saying, if you really knew who I was, if you knew I was an incest survivor, you wouldn't have even asked me to speak. Now I come forward and tell more people that I want to know, I'm an incest survivor, and I don't have anything more to hide. I'm a former Miss America, I was named the outstanding woman speaker in America, and I'm an incest survivor. It took me 53 years before I could stand up without shame, and it was so free. And that's what I try to do around the country, is to let people stand up and be known and see how many others there are and begin to take that huge step of letting go of shame. Sometimes somebody will write me and they'll say, "I am feeling so strong and empowered," and I say, "Right, now you need to turn and give that gift." One woman said, "I don't know where to start. Where do I want to do what you're doing." And I always say, bloom where you're planted. You know, your neighborhood, your daughter's school, your church. Just start reaching out to others. And we're reaching out to others. And we're empowering people throughout this country to start standing without shame. As I travel throughout the country, my most important audiences are judges. And when I addressed the Colorado Judges Association, I said to the judges, "I'm not going to ask you to understand everything I say to you today. I am going to ask you to accept it so that you'll understand if a 10-year-old or 14-year-old comes into your courtroom and the daughter says, 'My daddy never hurt me. He never touched me. I love my daddy.' You will understand I would have said that. I would never have reported my father. I would have denied it to the death." one of my missions is to protect children. And in order to do that, we have to do two things. First of all, adults have to start talking about it. If we can't come forward, how can we expect a child who has nobody to come forward? And that's become very clear for me. So in every meeting that I do now, even if it's a corporate meeting, I ask survivors to stand at the end.
If you would feel safe and comfortable, would you stand now? If you do not feel safe and comfortable, please stay seated. Would those of you in the front just turn to see that you're not alone? Thank you for standing.
Barbara Hamilton is almost 80 years old. She talks about the impact of two generations of incest on her as a survivor and on her children.
Well, this is a photograph book that I put together when I was still quite small. There's a picture of me here in a playpen on the beach, and my father's playing with me through the bars of the playpen. When I look at it now, knowing what I do, I think of the playpen as being a cage. The first time that I really remembered the whole thing and didn't ever forget it, I remembered it my whole life clearly, was when it happened when I was 9, when my father joined me in bed. And that was in 1929. From then on, I don't remember how often it happened, but it was quite often. When he came in, he didn't turn on the light. The room was dark, and I was in my little pajamas. And he just said, shh. When he sat down on the edge of the bed, then he took off my pajamas. And I just went limp when that happened. That was just, it was incomprehensible to me. My father was, from the beginning, my favorite parent. And there were good things that were happening, but there was always this shadow. I grew up thinking I was the only little girl in the whole world whose father made love to her. I was scared to death that anybody'd find out. And I had a sense that it was wrong, because it was our secret. What was the most painful of all was my children. As soon as I began hearing about them, it was just devastating, absolutely devastating. I had always thought while I was raising my family and from the time that the abuse of me ended, that was the end of the abuse. But it did not stop with me. My father's abuse did not stop with me. He got to some of my children. When I finally did hear about it from the first one who told me, it was just the horror of realizing what my father had done to my little girl. And she was a grown woman at the time that she was telling me this. And it happened all those years ago. And the damage to all of them that suffered incest was very severe. And I never suspected a thing. Later, when I found out that my brother was abusing one of the girls, I was not able to do anything appropriate except protect the rest of my children. But he had already been molesting my son. But it did stop when it all began coming out. And you know, there was no way it was going to continue or go on to another generation, because we were all horrified. Every one of my children was abused. And all of them have been through therapy of one kind or another. What I didn't anticipate was that some of it would lead some of them into withdrawing from the family, and especially from me. I felt pretty abandoned. And that just sort of took over my life. But I feel as though they need the space and they need the understanding from me, because their processes each have to take their own time. I now feel a connection with enough of my children in a mature way and a loving way, and there's no undertone that there used to be. It's a wonderful thing.
The Healing Years is Kathy Barbini's hour-long video about incest and the power of activist survivors. Barbara Hamilton is almost 80 years old.
When we lived up north, long before I'd had any therapy, things were just terrible for me, and I just felt as though I couldn't make it any longer. I just couldn't. And so I decided, we lived north of Reading, just a few minutes from Shasta Dam. And I had it all figured out that I would go over the dam. And there wouldn't be anything found, so there wouldn't be any mess. There wouldn't be any pills that anybody had to throw away or anything. I went into therapy for the first time in my life in 1976. I was very protective about my parents, and I would not say anything negative about them in that early time. I finally said one day to my therapist, he did strange things to me sometimes. And my therapist said, what kinds of things? I said, well, he touched me, and it was just like pulling teeth to say even that much. My therapist said, that would make me very angry. And I was dumbfounded, angry at my father. It never occurred to me. I left the therapy feeling like a total failure. I don't even feel when I'm supposed to be feeling the right things. What is the matter with me? At that time, Helen Reddy had come out with a song called Leave Me Alone. Why don't you leave me alone? And it just went through me like a shot. It was almost like being in the middle of a flashback that hadn't happened but should have happened. Because what it was doing was making audible what had been going on inside of me, and I didn't recognize it. I really did want him to leave me alone, but I had never verbalized it before. And I put that song on. I lived in Mobile Home Park at the time, and I put it on full blast, and I screamed it full blast over and over and over again. None of my neighbors ever said a word about it, but I'm sure they heard me screaming, Leave Me Alone, with Helen Reddy. This is a letter that I wrote to my dad. I was about 10. Dearest old dad, I got your letter tonight, and I was glad to hear all about your pipe. It got me less mixed up. In school, we are going to stop studying the Egyptians and start studying the Greeks. Then we are going to study...
I never dreamed when I started therapy 22 years ago that I would still be, although I do not have therapy anymore, I'm still dealing with the healing process. And it doesn't mean that it's not working. It means that it takes its own time. And you learn a lot of lessons about healing through the fact that there's just no instant cure for this.
I tell you why I cannot sleep at night. When I was a child, frequently, he would invade my body while my mother slept. The room which was mine was not safe. My body scraped, stripped, demolished, no longer mine.
I didn't know who I was, invisible. And then a miracle happened here at Glide. I began to clean the soot off of my lamp. I discovered and I revealed the deep shame of childhood sexual abuse. Each time I told the truth, I saw a circle of women who accepted me for who I was, no matter how unacceptable I felt about myself. Their belief in me helped me begin my recovery, helped me begin the healing of that shame.
Janice Mirakatani is a poet and an incest survivor. She is president of Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco, where her husband, the Reverend Cecil Williams, is pastor.
My mother raised me as a single parent for a couple of years of her life until she met my stepfather, and that was in Chicago. I was 5 years old when we moved from Chicago, Illinois, to Petaluma, California. From that time on until 1958, I was raised on a chicken farm. And our closest neighbors were maybe a half a mile away. So it was a rather isolated situation. It would occur often that I would be abused in the chicken house because it was far removed and it was isolated and there was no one there except me and the chickens. And where I would be fondled or rubbed against, it was flea season and the fleas would cover my hands and I couldn't move. There were several men in my family who abused me and they were all relatives. And the abuse happened for a very prolonged period of time. I was abused from the age of 5 until I was 16, until I left home. I believe that my greatest revenge is to speak out and to help others to speak out. And I don't mean revenge in that negative, biblical way. I mean vengeance in the sense of taking back what is mine and allowing other women to take back what is theirs and allowing and working to create a place where people are safe to be able to claim their voices. I think the reason why incest is such a destructive force is because it is an invisible wound, because it is so difficult to define as something that needs to be healed. And it's very deep because it is perpetrated by people that you depend upon and that you care for and that you love and you trust.
Some of us have been told to keep quiet, hold our tongues, convinced we have no mouths, incapable of shaping words because none would be believed. It was forbidden to reveal family secrets, not polite to disrupt the conspiracy, uncomfortable, dangerous. People would die, our mothers abandoned. It would be our fault.
When Glide started its recovery program about 6 years ago, we really did do it because of the requests of the people. They came to Cecil, and some of the women came to me and said, this community is dying because of crack cocaine. And so we started a recovery program focusing on crack cocaine as the abuse substance. What we did discover is out of the hundreds of women who came into recovery, 98% had experienced some form of sexual or physical abuse when they were children. That is a phenomenal percentage. What has been created through the circles, what we call the healing circles, the gathering, the tribe, the family, is an incredibly powerful healing force. Because what we've done is we've said that it's not acceptable for women to be abused. We've said it's not acceptable for women to feel second class, that it's not acceptable for us not to be powerful and as fully operative as possible. What we've said is that we want to break the cycle. And I think that the real dangers in our society has to do with those perpetuation of those cycles. I work with hundreds and hundreds of mostly women who are in recovery, not just a substance addiction. It is from the violence, from the sexual abuse, from the powerlessness, from all of those circumstances in our lives that make us who we are. I have my greatest moments of healing and satisfaction and gratification when I'm engaging with other women who have experienced the same thing. Any family, whether you're Black, whether you're in the ghetto, whether you're Asian, whether you're in the suburbs, whether you're in the rural areas, that wherever you are, that you are not immune from sexual abuse. Incest is a disease that has permeated every aspect of our society. I think that what happens to me when I get into a memory and when it really takes me down or it takes me to a real painful place, the difference for me now is how I deal with it. Before, I would medicate it immediately through alcohol, speed, whatever, so I didn't feel anything. I mean, I was just in this perpetual state of drowning. I didn't feel that I deserved to be treated well, and so I was naturally attracted to men who were who would beat me or who would batter me, and it was very, very destructive. It was very self-destructive. And that's why I'm so passionate about giving voice, about speaking. In many of my new poems, I mean, there's all the metaphor of the throat, of the open mouth, of the tongue freed. All of those metaphors are very much prevalent because, you know, I think that that's where a tremendous amount of power has come. What's happened to us is that our throats have been ripped out of our bodies, that our tongues have been ripped from our mouths, that we have been nailed into the coffins of silence. And I'm saying that every time a woman speaks out, every time someone feels safe enough to be able to speak the truth of what happened to them, that is the beginning of healing, and that is the greatest vengeance of all. Because what we're saying is we're claiming life. We're not giving in to the forces of death.
Janice Mirakatani is a poet and an incest survivor. The Healing Years is Kathy Barbini's video about incest and the power of activist survivors. This is Mary O'Grady for Wings.
Find The Healing Years, Women Survivors of Child Sexual Abuse, and also a second film, Boys and Men Healing from Child Sexual Abuse, on Barbini's website, bigvoicepictures.com. That's bigvoicepictures.com. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. Wings has been in production and distribution since 1986. Big thanks to all who have supported this project through the years, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose books, articles, and films can be found on the website gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.